Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 4. Of course, our hearts go out to you as a church for Brother Guzman, especially. I remember him greeting us when we first came here. We stayed in that little missions apartment that you have in the back and had an RV for the kids and great memories. Won't ever forget it. And of course, this is 17 years now in the work, and I announced, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but I was bivocational for all of those years, April 1st, full-time. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. It's a whole different ball game, and God gave us a new facility to meet in. Last Sunday, we had our first baptisms, and we had six converts get in deep water. Amen. And it was great. And during the baptism, we rolled it out. We have a portable one. We rolled it out into the dirt, and it sunk. I'm like, oh no, the ship's going down. And so, wow, what a great blessing it is to be here. Pastor Ray is my mentor. He's one of my dear. He's my pastor, and I have a sending pastor, but I love Pastor Ray, and I counsel with him, and I respect him, and I love this church. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, if you're able to stand in honor of reading the Word of God, please do so. If not, that's fine. Chapter 4, let's read together verses 20 through 27. I want to preach to you tonight a message entitled, Guarding Your Most Valuable Treasure. Guarding Your Most Valuable Treasure. Let's begin in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 20. Let's begin. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, and they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, do it again tonight, Lord. Help this church this evening. Bless me. Help me, Father, to be the messenger of the moment. I pray, God, that you'll give what you gave to me in a special way to these dear people. Bless Brother Ray as he preaches to the crowd tonight. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing at the Hopewell Baptist Church here in Napa. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Be seated. All right. So second time visitor, keep coming. What a blessing. And I look out and I see everybody is, you haven't aged a day. I have found funny fact as I looked at the Bible that I was preparing to preach from today. And it's, let me see here. This is all set up for Brother Ray. Brother Ray's about this tall. So let me rearrange this. Amen. And I was looking at the Bible, and it's my ordination Bible. And the date on the ordination Bible is, get this, July 26, 2006. And right after that, we packed up the truck. You know, going to California, right? So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Oakland. So, wow, I thought that was very, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you. That's a sweet gesture. I want to talk to you tonight about guarding your most valuable treasure. And I hope that you came tonight, that you have the attitude of gratitude, and that you've come tonight wanting to grow and change. And you never leave the same way you come in. Say it with me. Never leave the same way you came in. Amen? It's not the way that we as Christians do things. We want to grow, grow, grow. We want to change, change, change. And we want to be very tender-hearted for the Lord to do a great work in our lives. Now, tonight's message is about guarding your most valuable treasure. And there are many treasures in life that we think of. The list is almost limitless. I start off, of course, with the treasures of our children, our family, our spouses. I think of our other family members. I think of our churches and our leaders and our pastors and our preachers that we treasure. They are valuable to us. I think of the friendships that you have. They're valuable to you, and the health, and to some degree our wealth. You know how you know that you're taking care of your treasure in this matter of wealth? You put a paint job on your house every 7 years or so. You take care of the yard. You contribute to your retirement funds as a younger couple, and we give great treasure to our possessions and some of our family heirlooms. And we think of our opinions. We treasure some of the opinions that we have, that others have. We treasure time. Time is the only commodity that you have. Time is not to be wasted. And sadly, among all the things, unfortunately, that we treasure so greatly, so often, we fail to treasure the one thing that we should treasure above all other things. You read with me tonight in the scriptures. I think you might know what that is, but we'll get to it in just a minute. Now, in addition to this, there's the non-believer's warning, and that's in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Don't turn there for sake of time. And by the way, what time? Where's the clock? Where is it? There's no clock. Dangerous. Amen. What time, brother, should we look at wrapping this up? Normally, you close, what, church is 9? Ours is 10. I don't know about you, but I'm never going to Oakland. In Mark, in chapter 8, in verse number 36 and verse 37, I want you to notice that the lost are put on notice, I should say, about their treasures. And what are their treasures? A lost person's treasure is their soul. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, "For what shall it profit a man if he should what? Gain the whole world and lose his own soul." Then it continues and says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" What shall he give? There's nothing more precious than the eternal soul. The eternal soul lives forever. And a lost person, their most valuable treasure is their soul. Now, keep that in mind as I continue. The unregenerated are always in danger of losing the most possession, the most valuable possession they have, and that's their soul. Nothing is more value than the eternal soul. You cannot look at someone at the gas station filling up your tank here tomorrow. You cannot look at your colleague. You cannot look at somebody in the street without knowing that that soul is priceless. That soul is without, there is an infinity factor to it. Those under the sound of my voice tonight, if you're lost watching on the video or if you're in this room, I plead with you and heed this warning and come to Jesus. Don't delay. Come to Him and be saved. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to make some important statements this evening. The very first thing is that once a person is saved, the soul is secure. Say amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Is it true? Say amen.
Amen.
Once the person gets saved, the soul is secured. And inside Jesus, we do not have to contemplate ever again about the state of the eternal soul. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 28 and 29, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Say it with me. Never perish. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Jesus is simply saying that if he has saved a soul, it will never, no, never, never perish.
Amen.
Now, if that's true, and you're sitting here today, a born-again, regenerated son and daughter of God, then that's no longer your most valuable treasure because Jesus is taking care of it. In other words, if I'm saved, I do not have to worry about my soul any longer. It's saved.
Amen.
If it's safe, then it's his responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." I'm going to make a statement number one. So our most valuable treasure, or that thing that we must guard above all other things, becomes something other than our eternal souls once we're saved. Now, our treasure is identified in the text that we read tonight. First point, there's only three, but a whole bunch of subpoints. Amen. Oof. Oof. Number one, how your treasure is identified. You know, Solomon mentions this word twice in just the few short verses that we read. What was that word? What do you think that word I'm getting to tonight is? Heart. You'll notice the heart is mentioned. Because once you're saved, the soul is secured, and now there's a transition from what's the most important or valuable treasure that you have in your life. It's no longer your soul because your soul is safe. Now, I'm going to teach you something tonight. The heart in ancient times was used to speak about the center of everything that we do, everything, how we think, how we feel. It is the reservoir of our mind, our will, and our emotion. It's not that fist-sized organ that pumps blood throughout our bodies. It's the center of us. The word translates heart also carries this meaning of the middle. And thus the heart is the very center of our being. And as you know, the Bible has some very negative things to say about the heart. And we've all heard it, Jeremiah 17:9. It talks about how the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? But that's before you're saved.
Amen.
So the Bible isn't very flattering when it describes the fallen nature of the human heart, the unregenerated heart. And the heart is always associated with sin, rebellion, with disobedience, unrighteousness, and deception, and then death. And that doesn't sound very much like a treasure, does it? When a lost soul or a heart comes to Jesus for salvation, the very nature of that heart undergoes a transformation. Dear sister in the Lord here tonight with her husband who's had that big heart surgery. Let me tell you something. Life is different. There's a transition when that heart, that physical heart, is changed. There's a big change going on in that body. The Bible says in Ezekiel, I'll just read it for sake of time tonight, in verse chapter 36, mark it down, verse 25, 6 and 7. Bible says, then will I sprinkle water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. Listen now. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put your spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And when the Lord saves a soul, he changes the heart. He takes the stone out and he puts a new one in. We're new creatures in Christ. Classic verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. In salvation, the heart is changed. Old ways of thinking are changed. Old ways of feelings are changed. The old way of living is changed. They're replaced by new. And so here's the topic of why we are to value and guard the redeemed heart is the greatest treasure for the believer to possess. Now listen to this. The heart becomes the treasure identified because what God changes in it. Stop underestimating the new heart. It is not the stony heart of the lost. It is no longer the desperately wicked. You can know it. That's the different heart for the post-salvation person. And you can meditate upon the priceless investment placed upon you. And then you can rehearse point number two. Point number one was how your heart is identified. Number two, why your treasure is important. In this text, Solomon's writing to teach his son, is he not? He's saying, son, listen up. Man, I've gone through it with my father, and I want to pass the baton on to you. I want to teach you God's truth I want to teach you some wisdom that's laid up for you. And Solomon lays out some challenges before his son. He challenges his son. Look at verse number 20. He says, "Son, I want you to hear my words." What's the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, "Son, I'm going to challenge you," in verse number 21, "to keep them in view at all times." God says, he challenges his son in verse number 21b at the end of it to keep them in his heart. I want you, son, to listen. I want you, son, to keep it in front of you. And I want you, son, to keep them in your heart. You know what that means? It means to store them up. I want you to go ahead and meditate on them. I want you to hold on to them. I want you to make them alive. I want you to understand that life refers to vitality. It refers, in verse number 22, it talks about, if you'll do this, I'll provide you with life and I'll provide you with health. Two different things. Number one, life refers to vitality. It refers to a strength, a freshness. Life is great when you're young, and well, when you get older, life is a little more challenging. Amen. But health, though, speaks of medicine. Health speaks of a cure. It speaks of a remedy, a wholesomeness. But what is it for, Pastor? It's for providing a remedy and a cure for the foolishness that affects the world. And if you don't guard your heart, affects us. See, you're saved. Before you were saved, the most precious thing, the most precious treasure you had was your soul. Right now, as a saved person, your soul is saved. And it's a wonderful thing. Full redemption is going to happen. We're sealed into the day of redemption, Ephesians tells us. So then, Pastor, what happens with the transition now? Well, now, you better understand that your heart is needing to be guarded. Guarded. According to these verses, this keeping or this storing up, this meditating or this of truth is done in the heart. Stay awake, please. It's done in the heart. The hearer of the wisdom is to store it up in his heart. Statement number two. Solomon knows that when a person's heart is transformed, then the whole life is changed. The heart, in the biblical terms, is the engine that drives the vehicle of our lives. Just like when you're driving your SUV or your car or your motorcycle and you're driving, you cannot ignore paying attention, and neither can you ignore guarding your heart. Man, we were driving up here, and you know they split lanes, motorcycles split lanes. And we're in the hub lane, and if I'm not careful, you know, all of a sudden, and then they get mad at you. Didn't you see me? And I'm like, oh man, I didn't see you. It was a close call. How in California did they ever pass some law like that where you could just drive between vehicles? That's amazing. Just like closing up the house or the apartment at night. You do that, don't you? Don't you, before you go to bed, you go and make sure that the doors are locked, the lights are on? No, you don't. Napa? Oh, sorry. Forgot where I was. But just as you do that, you need to make your rounds, and you need to place to make it secure. You got to make sure that you're guarding your heart. Consider Psalm 23, verse 3 and 4, where it says this. The psalmist says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" And he answers the question, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity?" Vanity is emptiness, wasting time, things that don't matter. "Nor sworn deceitfully." In God's mind, you got to understand one thing. Actions of the hands and the attitudes are the attitudes of the heart, and they're forever linked. Amen? What connects your foot to your leg? Your knee. You never have a foot attached to the knee. Amen? That would look awful strange. Right? The calf. You have the calf connecting the foot to the knee, and then the knee connects up here to the... I don't know. I never took biology. But all I'm saying is that there's a connection with how your heart is in what you think, what you do, what you say, and what you believe. So the heart of a believer is the most important treasure, because the condition of the heart will determine the kind of person that you are. It's transition now. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. Now, Lord, what do I do? Rest of your life, guard your heart. I remember going in Bible college, and it took me 5 years to graduate. I don't know about anybody else. Slower student. And we would ask Brother Hiles, we'd ask all these pastors, Pastor, when I graduate, what's the most important thing a young preacher boy ought to do? And they would always say, walk with God, walk with God, walk with God, have a walk with God. But it always is connected to the heart. Everything is connected to the heart. Our walk, our words, our ways, our wills, with everything else in life, are directed by the heart. Now we get to verse 23. Take a look at it. Now we look at verse 23. Review that with me, post-salvation people. The most valuable treasure is in transition. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word issues in that verse means outflowing. It means an outgoing. In the ancient world, drought was a continued problem. I mean, you think about it, where the part of the world they're in geographically. Springs were very valuable, and they were protected at all costs. They would fight wars over water in the desert. They were guarded. They were protected. They were of great value. Why? Because there was an outflowing in the middle of an arid, dry desert. Was life-giving water. Go ahead. Yeah, you want to feed your cat? Drink, go ahead. God, no. Brothers and sisters, they guarded those wells. The heart is like an ancient spring. Out of it flows the life of blessings and hope and optimism and peace and joy and stability and scriptural understanding and doctrinal awareness and prowess. And the heart is to be protected at all costs. When the Lord saved us, He replaced us with a faulty, stony-filled, wicked heart, and He gave us a new heart, and that is why it needs protection. Out of this new heart flows a steady river of life, love, blessings, hope, salvation. And this mighty river touches and affects everybody around you. Everybody in this church has had the impact of a pastor who's been here for decades, Brother Mike Ray. He gives of himself, and where does it come from? It comes from the heart. That's why we need to protect it. Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The heart is like this huge reservoir, and it contains this vast, deep ocean. When a person's lost, that heart is filled with corruption. And because of that, out of that lost person's heart comes waves that flow from it, and they bring death and stupidity and foolishness and despair and destruction. On the contrary, the reservoir of the saved heart is filled by God, changed by God. Whether you yield to it is, unfortunately, the big issue, isn't it? But God changes that heart, and the waves that flow out of a new redeemed heart are these things of what I mentioned before, life and hope and blessings, and they hit every shore that they touch. Statement number three, the heart is important because what we have in our hearts will come out of our lives. Let me illustrate. The executioner, who was sympathetic towards Sir Walter Raleigh, took no pleasure in the duty he now had to perform. Hoping to ease this great explorer's last moments, the executioner bent a little lower and whispered to Sir Walter how to place his head on the block to ensure a swift decapitation. Sir Walter Raleigh looks up and says, he thanked him and he said, "It matters little, friend, whether or not the head is right, so long as the heart is right." It's the heart. Now that you're saved, you must guard it. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. Spiritually speaking, when the heart is right, so will the head and the extensions be in that person's life. You can tell. You know, there's this. What is it when you look at someone's complexion? What's the word? What is it? Countenance. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can tell right away on the countenance of someone that, man, they're wore out. They are wore out. They're just exhausted. They're tired. And then you can look at someone's countenance and they're not very serious. They're just all joking around. And then I'm telling you, this thing, it all stems from the heart. And since the heart drives the life, and since it determines the direction of everything that we do, we must make sure that we protect our heart against anything that would defile them. Number one, how your treasure is identified. It's identified because there's been a metamorphosis, there's been a change. Under new management, hallelujah. And so the redeemed heart is now identified. Number two point was why your treasure is important. Why is it important? God changed it and the issues flow out of it. Hello, everybody with me? Number three, how your treasure is insulated or protected. The command in verse number 23 is keep thy heart with all diligence. With all diligence. You look at this word for a minute. To keep means to guard or to protect. The word all diligent means above all keeping. Above all keeping. Above all. This teaches us that we're to guard and protect and insulate our hearts above everything else in our lives. I love my wife. I introduced her to you tonight. How many years have we been married? Do you remember? 35. I have to tell you something. She's very valuable to me. Would you say amen? Amen, bro. But I want to tell you something. More valuable than my sweet rib is making sure that my heart stays right. I'm going to mess it all up if it doesn't. I'm going to take her for granted. I'm going to wander with my eyes. Are you getting me? I say to you tonight, you got to insulate, and here's how you do it. You protect your heart, and give a statement tonight. Statement number four, believers have many tasks to keep. Believers have many tasks to keep. They have many treasures, but there is one above all, and they are to, the most important task that you have in this world is guarding your heart. You leave tonight, one thing on your mind is, oh man, I got to guard my heart the rest of my life. This is my soul is saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to read my Bible and build consistency. How do you do that? When your heart's right. Keep your heart insulated. Amen. Bible says, how do we do that? How do we guard the heart? How do we guarantee the heart's protected? There it is in verse 24 through 27. He lays the foundation. He lays it out. He says, hey, believer, he says, keeping the heart with all diligence, guarding the heart requires you and I to walk on a path that will protect the heart from sin and from apostasy and from being damaged. We must give strict attention to the path we walk. I hear every month or so, I'll hear a story about honeymoon couple, wife falls 900 feet from the edge of the cliff taking a picture. Brother, what were you thinking? Why are you getting that close to the edge? You got to ponder your path. You got to know where you are. I'm getting a little older now. Before I was young, now I make sure I'm looking where I'm going. Amen? Because I can fall easy. You got to give strict attention to the path you're walking. You must watch what you do. What's that, honey? Oh! You got to watch what you're doing. By the way, when someone's talking to you, stop what you're doing and watch them. Look at them. Give them attention. You must watch what we say. We must watch. I said something the other day. I was working with another sister in the Lord at the church, and we were talking. We were getting things organized. There's your wife, and we were organizing everything, and something came up, and it was so absurd. I said, "What did I say?" I said, "Woman, you will." And as soon as I said that, "Woman," that's how the world talks. Are y'all with me? That's how the world. I forgot about it. Just came to me now. I'm confessing my sins. Amen. All right, your turn. Let's start from here. You must watch where we go. We must watch what we see. We must watch what we listen to. Why? I don't want that thing to go in my heart. People leave these important disciplines out of their life because they have problems in their hearts. Here's the application of the message. Verse number 24. If we're going to keep our hearts, then we must monitor our speech. Just a few points. Number one, here's the application. Apply this tonight to the central truth is that your heart is the most valuable treasure you have. So here's how you apply it. Monitor your speech. When God chose to use the words froward and perverse, they mean the same thing. They mean crooked. Huh? Are y'all with me? Crooked. I can't stand anything crooked in the church back in Alameda. If the sign's crooked, the baptistry, I told you, it sort of just bugged me for the whole afternoon. I was like, let's pull it up. No way. It's hundreds and pounds of water. I don't like anything crooked in our church. Amen? I want everything to be straight. I mean, all my tracks are all straight. I come in and straighten all the tracks on the table. And I'm looking around. I don't want anything crooked. Mercy. We must pay close attention to the words that come out of our mouths because they are the window into the heart. And when our words are evil, it lets us know the heart needs attention. And by the way, did you know the word evil is simply this? It is that which is opposed to God and His plan. Oh, I thought evil was this bad, dirty. No. It's much broader. We're living in evil days. Why? Because they don't value the things that God values. Evil is that which is harmful or non-productive for His creation, humans. And so we have to be careful. These words, if they're evil, it lets us know that the heart needs attention. How many here, you're taking a shower and you shower and you go, oh, what's that? Oh, that's a lump. Oh, that's a lump. Ah, it'll go away. Nobody does that. You go, honey, you try. Come, I got a lump. And you call the doctor and you take care of business. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have some tests run and the doctor says, all right, we've got the results back. Let's have a discussion. And the doctor gives you some, you know, grim news. And you just say, it's all right, doc. I got this thing. No, it's like, what do I do? When can we get the appointment? When can we start? Hello. You'll do that for your physical body, but what about your spiritual body? It's all there. It's right before us tonight. Monitor your speech. It's a thermometer to see where you are spiritually. All God's people said. So listen to what you say, how you say it. A clean, holy, and pure heart produces clean, holy, and pure words. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Number two, guard your eyes. Verse 25. The challenge in this verse is to keep our eyes where they need to be. And we're to look right on and look straight before us. Problem with guys, especially in the summertime, is that you'll see that young lady walking and you know you see her straight on, but the problem is that instead of keeping your eyes straight on, they go over to the left, and they look a little longer than they should. And don't bow your head now. It's not time to pray. Okay? See, that should immediately tell you, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. My heart is off on this. My heart, I got to watch what I say. I got to watch what I look upon. And the idea is that we're to follow this path that's laid down in verse number 20 through 23. This is the path. He says, incline, hear my words, lean your ears into my saying, do not depart, do not let them depart from your eyes. That's why I love scripture verses all over the place. Oh, I thought they were there. But scripture verses all over. 3x5 cards, whatever you do, put the word of God. You know, if you're not doing anything, why don't you let the Bible just play? Amen. Boy, let that thing just saturate you. The idea we're to follow that. Verse number 22. For they are life unto those that find them and health. That's the path. That's what you got to make sure that you're looking and you're walking on. And what you allow to come into your life through your eyes will affect the integrity of your heart. And if you choose to look at the wrong things in the world around you, you undermine your heart. It's your most valuable possession now that you're saved. You look at a woman, men, you're talking to a woman. Bless God, if your heart's not right, neither will your thoughts be. You all with me? It's getting quiet in here. It's just telling you your heart needs to be evaluated, needs to be saturated. You need to be keep close accounts with God. Bless God, my wife, I'll tell you one thing. Besides Jesus, the worst thing I can ever do is disappoint her. What was the other thing I was disappointed you the other day?
What was it?
Oh, cutting the yard. So we have an Airbnb in the back of our house. And she goes, honey, did you not cut the yard yet? And the grass was. And I go, I sure didn't. I'll get to it. She goes, okay. Bless God, I'm out there late at night. Getting that thing done. If I'll do that for her, what would I and should I do for God? I got to guard my heart. I don't want to disappoint him. I know that I'm saved now. And because I'm saved now, the most valuable thing is that I'm right with another person I'm looking at, speaking to. I'm not a hypocrite. I don't go home and live a different way than I am at church. And the only way that you get there over time is attending to your heart. And understanding it's not that desperate and wicked thing, and who can know it? It's a beautifully transformed reservoir of God's best ready to flow out of you. Amen?
Amen.
I'll just wrap this up here. In verse number 26 and 27, we're to watch our steps. The word that's used there is ponder. We don't use that word anymore. I mean, I don't go up to my wife and say, honey, did you ponder this decision we have to make? But it means to weigh. And this is, we are to think, that is that we are to think about the path that we're taking through life. We have to contemplate where we are and what we're doing and how you're living and where you're heading. And if you've ever been camping, and you lose kind of your bearings on where you are, survival manuals will tell you the very first thing you're to do is what? Oh man, I'm not going camping with any of you. Stop. You stop. Don't keep wandering. And you should build shelter because you're there for the night, man. And no, Pastor, I learned that you climb a big tree and you look out to try and gain your bearings. We're going to be having a eulogy for you. Because the long, that's all right. I know where we are. 5 hours later. Oh, weren't we here already? Yeah. Uh-huh. You got to take notice on how you're walking. There's people right here in this room tonight. You keep walking the same way you're walking, I'm telling you, you're going to hurt your testimony, hurt your faith walk. You're going to disappoint some people. It isn't about us. It's about the Lord being yielding to the Lord so that he can have all of these attributes, these fruit of the Spirit, and all of these virtuous things that he put in there to come out. And what wants to corrupt them is Netflix and subscriptions and social media. And I'm just saying that it's all designed to go ahead and dumb us down and to immobilize us and to fix us. Just look at your phone. Put your phone on the system where you can see what you did that week. It's real quiet in here. It'll tell you how many hours you had in this app. It'll tell you how many hours you did this. How many hours you did that. How many hours did we do this? You see, I understand. I know. I face the same battles that all of us do. But you got to wise up, and we got to be able to see that it's all shuck and jive. It's not real. What's real is yielding yourself to what God's put inside of you and allow it to flow out of you. It's watching your steps. Now here it is, and I'm done. How do you accomplish this? How do you watch what you say, monitor your speech, watch your eyes, watch where you go, watch what you do, watch what you say? How do you do that? Not rocking scientist stuff here. Jonathan, listen. Ready? Here it is. It's the old-fashioned, tried, true things that we've been doing for centuries, since Jesus came. It's the fundamental disciplines. Ready? Read your Bible. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Wow. Yeah. Read your Bible. Public and private prayer. Watch this. Ready? Little prayer, little power. Much prayer. How do you guard your heart? Stay in the book. How do you guard your heart? Oh, man, pray. Pray. How about public worship and private worship? How about diligent obedience to the Word of God? Someone said, if we just were obedient to the things that we already know, what kind of Christianity would we experience? The abundant life would be amazing just by the things we already know. Let alone what Brother Ray's going to bring, or Jonathan Ray bring, or other men of God that's used in this church. Let alone what they're going to bring next week. And if the Lord tarries, the week after. Just be obedient to the things that you know. Compassion, concern for the needs of others. Sharing the gospel with the lost. By the way, one of the great sources or temperature gauge to see how you're doing in your heart is whether you leave your tracks behind you wherever you go. Went to a gas station today, let the pump go. Look, I got to watch it because, you know, if you're not careful, like 100, 150. So I grab it, and I'm like, hey, one for you, just like Brother Ray taught me 17 years ago. One for you. Hey, God bless America. Hey, man, one for you. Oh, man, I got to go back over here and turn it off. I just had a few minutes. I just took a couple gospel tracks. You know what that tells me? That tells me the heart is yielded to the Lord, and it's a good feeling. Amen? It's a good truth, better than a feeling. Sharing the gospel, faithful and generous giving to the work of the Lord, fellowshipping with the people of God. All the basic disciplines help guard the heart and keep it in tune with the will of God. You know what that incident was when I used the word woman with this dear brother's wife instead of, you certainly wouldn't want to use that word. You know what that was? That was this sister playing the piano. By the way, who was that? Is that your wife? Who was that? Oh, that was Cassidy. Where is she? Is she here? I didn't hear one bad note, but bless God, if you did hit it, we may not have heard it, but you sure would have. And that's what happens when our heart, when something's not in tune. We know it. If you know it, then you got to deal with it. Oh, what's that lump? You got to deal with it right away. Right away. If we allow the muddled streams of sin and self to flow into the reservoir of our hearts, it will spoil the purity of the reservoir. And we must protect the heart. For the heart, if it's kept pure, our lives will be kept clean. And I just want to ask you tonight, where does this message find you in your heart? I didn't come here just to fill in for pastor and deliver a message without seriously urging you, as God has moved on your spirit tonight, for a response. The decision tonight is to move. It's like I said at the beginning of the message, don't ever leave change. I mean, don't leave the same way that you came in. How your treasure is identified, number one, the redeemed heart. How your treasure is important, because Jesus made it valuable and completely new. And a source, a reservoir for you to flow out. Don't get that thing washed up and all polluted. And how is your treasure insulated? By keeping the old-fashioned disciplines of Christianity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. Thank you.